Hi. I just watched the season premiere, episode 7 of Walking Dead. My head is exploding. It was unbelievable. Everybody, before we get started, I want to let you know about this new podcast that's coming out by Melanie Kay. It's called the Party Train Podcast, and Melanie Kay has been a very good supporter of the show with her Melanie Kay PR business by giving me interviews. One of them being actually this one in conjunction with Ian Blurton, as well as the last one I did last week with JP from the band Mute. Melanie, your podcast, I haven't heard it yet because I can't find it on iTunes, but it will probably most likely be on iTunes, unless she's going all punk rock and not using iTunes, but good luck with that, and I hope to hear some episodes because I haven't seen one yet. Party Train Podcast, everybody go check that out. Today's podcast is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial by going to www.audibletrial.com/apolog. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle Fire, or any other product that plays MP3s. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/apolog and have a good time with that. This podcast is also brought to you in part by Amazon, my Amazon affiliate program. You can go to apolog.ca and click on the banners located on the right side. Locate your country, whether it be from Canada, the United States, or UK. Bookmark the link banners, and every time you shop on Amazon, use those links to shop and support the show. Costs you no extra money, and is very helpful to me. Patreon.com/apolog is a place to go pledge as much or as little as you want on a monthly basis to help with hosting and gas fees. You can cancel at any time, and I have 4 awesome patrons, and they support the show weekly, monthly, I mean. Did I say weekly? I meant monthly. Insight Recorders, online mixing. Why don't you send your recorded album to Insight Recorders? It's going to get mixed and mastered to add a professional touch to your recording. I didn't mention download codes because I'm doing a whole new thing and I haven't actually launched it yet. And I'm working on a new website. It's going to be awesome. We talk a little bit actually with this episode with Ian. Apolog.ca/shop, pre-order an acoustic album that might never come out. I'm just joking. It's going to come out. Buy a t-shirt. T-shirts are running out. Buy the Fourscore discography for $20. 70 odd songs. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes. Give it 5 stars. 5 stars. And give a little review. Helps it out. Okay? Tell your friends, too. Go to facebook.com/apologpod to like the show and catch up on news. Follow me on Twitter at simonhead666, and those are all the spots. Today on the show, Sir Ian Blurton of the band Public Animal. Ian and I go back quite a long ways. Ian produced one of the first albums I had a big thing in, my band called Foursquare. He produced it, and he was a good soul with that. He's been a great guy and good supporter of the show, as well as music in general. He's a super sweet, awesome guy, and he's got a recording studio. He's also got this new album, and you can check it out. It's coming out on October 28th. The album is going to be called Palace Arms, so you can get that on October 28th. You can preview it on Bandcamp. And I was going to play a song, but it's not out yet, so I didn't get the word whether or not it was okay to play it, so I'm not going to play a song. But as soon as this comes out tomorrow, go to Bandcamp, preview it. It's called Palace Arms. The band is called Public Animal. Everybody, my good friend, Ian Blurton, on the Apolog Podcast. Back again. That was my radio voice. Back again with the Ian Blurton. Shit, it's been over a year.
Yes, it has.
And you hold the record for downloads on my...
I do?
Yeah, you do, dude.
5?
No, 3. Yeah. No. You win the most amount of visited traffic. You still hold the record on my website. So that's cool.
Trying to turn my phone off.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, man, and some shit's happening. You put a new record out.
Yep, comes out October 28th. Mm-hmm. Yep.
How's it feel? Like, how many albums is this now?
I actually don't know.
Is it the second Public Animal?
Yeah.
Second.
Yeah, we did a split LP last year, but this is the second full length.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's still fresh.
it's still very fresh, and there's so much new technology to learn every time you make a record. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, because how long, it was last year, even last year, shit's all going down. Like, Bandcamp is the new thing. What do you have a label and stuff, or you?
Right, which is Tony Lima from London, Ontario. Yeah, he puts out our vinyl in Canada.
Yeah, he does.
We do our CDs ourselves and do the Bandcamp, and then Electro Hash in Germany put out Habitat, the first record.
Right, and so you're going to be sending some vinyl over there, because I heard there's some vinyl, I heard.
Yes, there is. Apparently.
From a botched text, I got the vinyl. I hear it sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds great. It sounds really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's it like? So now you're taking care of your own thing, like you're putting your own records out, it sounds like.
It's always kind of been like that to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when we were signed, like when I was signed to Virgin, I mean, there was still a lot of work involved.
But obviously, you say everything's changed. It is. It's crazy. That's old guy talk.
I know. It's totally. I know. No, it has really changed, and it's like it's kind of interesting. It's like always new. So
yeah, and so to do something like a record here in your studio, do you normally I usually find it's really tough to get it done.
Yeah.
Because you have all the time in the world.
Yeah.
Which is great, but it's also bad.
Yeah.
Because you're always constantly like, I think I can make that better.
Right. Yeah. Well, one good decision we made was we went and did the beds at the Hip Studio.
Bathhouse.
Yeah. With Niall Spencer, who's like, whatever, amazing engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So he really got us through the 10 songs in 4 days.
Yeah,
really good. And,
really?
And then we brought them here and overdubbed here. Of course, I tinkered like a crazy person.
Oh, you can swear.
Yeah, okay.
Like a motherfucker.
Like a motherfucker.
Yeah. I mean, and to do a record yourself is it's rewarding and it's scary, it's frightening. Like, I've had several nervous breakdowns in my life trying to put a record out.
I really feel like I've had one on this record.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a full on nervous breakdown, but
Now what is it though? Because to me it was like just getting it done, the work and the sort of the ominous, like, oh, there's so much to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm my own worst enemy with that shit. Like, I'm trying to get everything in rows and try to make it work. And then it's like, stuff is always like, there's other things to worry about.
Right.
Does the music suffer? Do you have tough times? Do you have to sometimes like take this hat off and put the musician hat on?
Oh yeah. I think,
You get good at it.
I have to make a split. Like, I have to be either a musician or on the outside.
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit before last year.
Yeah, and it's like trying to do both at the same time is very hard. There was actually no producer on this record either, so it's like everyone went just bonkers. Like, you know, like there's like 130 tracks on some songs, and
really?
It's just like, oh yeah, yeah, it's just like, and then wading through all that stuff, and yeah.
That is also the other problem. The problem back in the old days, you had 24 selections, 24 tracks.
It was so beautiful.
If you're lucky, you'd have 48.
Yeah.
And 48 was always like, oh, well, that's expensive now.
Yeah.
But the whole, you know, when you're trying to sift through hundreds and hundreds of tracks and takes, and it kind of feels like...
Oh, no, this is 130 tracks of one take. Like, we put 130 tracks on one song
that
had to be there.
Just mixing it.
Yeah. It's like a... Yeah.
But do you, like, where do you start? Like, where do you just, because you're mixing it, or do you send it away to be mixed?
No, we mixed it this time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not ideal, but you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. I've done a lot of that, and I've always enjoyed it when other people do it for the sake that I can just sit in the back of the room and go, oh, this sounds great. This is awesome.
Yeah. It's the best feeling. Have a couple almonds.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, wow, I'm vindicated here. I've actually done something. I've been working on a new record with Connor Lovett Fraser, who sings in Boys Not Out, and Mike Indovino, who is the drummer of Cheap Suits.
Oh.
And we were trying to get a bass player. The bass player was two to choose from, and now it's like, fuck it, I'll just play bass.
Right.
And then we're going to have two guitar players, and hopefully Steve Kreklow.
Oh, wow.
One of the Carnations. It's going to be this neat little quasi, what's not super group, it's more of a intermediate...
It's a super duper group.
It's a duper group.
Yeah. Oh, Steve's such a great guitar player.
Oh, he's so good. You should hear his take of I Want a New Drug off of my Huey Lewis cover album that Mikey and I started 8 years ago. And he played guitar on it, and I asked him just as a goof, like, hey, you want to play a solo for I Want a New Drug? He goes, I do, in fact. I've been thinking about learning that solo, and he did note for a goddamn note. I'll play a little bit at the end of the show. It's just, nice. Just insane. We couldn't. Yeah. We stopped at horns. Once we get to the horns, it's like, oh, fuck, we can't get horn players. There's right. nobody that know how to play properly, right. and you can't fake that. You nope. need real. If you're covering Huey Lewis and the News' sports album, you really need to go all the way.
Yeah.
I even did monophonic keyboard, even though I could do both and stuff. Oh, yeah. Believe me.
No, no. Drum machine all the way through, I see.
No. I used real drums, but they really? Used a lot of, they used like all of shitty 8-bit triggering.
Mm-hmm.
And I started that. And I'm like, you know what? I think the drums, I drew the line, like the drums need to sound like drums.
Right.
But the keyboard sounds, like, you know how hard it is just to find a guitar sound. It's like, mm-hmm. it's all there. Like, mm-hmm. You just have to go sift through and be methodical. And just getting the take was nothing, but finding the sound was absurd.
Yeah. No, it's incredible with keyboards. Like, you have so many more options.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow.
Yeah. yeah. So you're here, and I'm just noticing that speaker back there, you replaced that 610 speaker.
Yes.
I remember that bass cabinet from Foursquare days. I think that's
yep.
the one.
Yep, it is.
And the question is, where do you find a driver like that? Because I think I've blown one of mine.
I don't know. Eric bought it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Because he blew it?
Well, he put his headstock through it.
was that up at that Sault Ste. Marie show we're talking
about? No,
it wasn't.
It wasn't.
So it's the plan. You're gonna tour around?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we play a lot of weekends, and we're trying to get to Europe, and we're thinking about the U.S. for next summer, that kind yeah. of thing, you know?
Yeah. Now, how do you saddle up with folks that know things, or you just still DIY it, like calling people old connections?
Yeah, like old connections, and you know, like Electro Hash in Germany is going to try and help us get over there.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the US, yeah, it'll just literally be friends and towns, I think.
Yeah,
make it short, yeah, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's good though,
yeah,
right?
Because
you
sure.
get over there for 2 weeks rather than being over there for 30 days and then you're committed,
yeah.
You know, because that's the longest, I think the longest you can go on a plane flight is like 1 month or something if mm-hmm. you take a two-way flight.
Right.
That's what, I don't know. I don't know much about that, but that's the way I always figured. Maybe that's my own rules I made up for myself.
That's a good rule nonetheless, even if it's not true. Sometimes we have to make rules for ourselves
yeah,
that aren't true just
that's
to,
true.
You
that's
know,
our...
get us through.
yeah, because it's so much more fun to go over there and play. And I just truly think it's the flight, it's the experience. I don't think it's the... It's all shows, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've always tried to pin it down as to why going to Europe is better.
Right. I love the smell of diesel. I love the smell of European diesel.
I just think just the smell, like if you go to Germany and go and you smell something that's unlike, you know, the even the countryside, like it just mm-hmm. smell, you're right. You know, that's yeah. another thing. And it's just the fact that you just are not at your home.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and you feel like, oh, I'm validated, or maybe I can actually be a real musician or something. Does that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Am
yeah,
I projecting
yeah.
on you?
No, not at all. It's it's totally true. And it's, you know, I think, yeah, new places inspire you to do new things too, you know?
I think.
I mean, some of the greatest bands I've ever seen have been on tour in Europe, like just bands you never hear about over here. And
yeah.
you're just like, damn.
Yeah. They just go yeah. and they do that. I mean, I'm in a band that they've been on tour for, they were on tour for 6 weeks or something. You're like, really? You know, like, you know, there's American band.
Yeah.
They just travel around. Never heard of, I don't remember the name of the band.
Right.
But they're just touring and touring. I think those days are kind of gone after me talking to a few friends who book over there or, mm-hmm. you know, it seems like if you wanted to take your acoustic over there and play some shows, it's easier to do that kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
always
yeah.
kind of been that easy, or I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not an acoustic person
it's
at all.
It's a new
all,
world so for
it's
me.
A new,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. For me, too, because I've been offered to go there as just me and an acoustic. I'm like, that sounds like fun. But then I'd be around a bunch of people who don't know me and I don't know them. And the experience is fun when you can share it with the people.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you need. Yeah. For me, at any rate, yeah, just going by yourself would be weird.
I did it once.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
I mean, touring. I'm
yeah.
not talking about just, yeah.
I went there touring to put a band together from Italy and went and played two shows.
Wow.
It was weird.
Yeah.
It was so weird. But, you know, they were great guys.
Right.
But it's so weird being in a van full of people and nobody speaking English.
Right.
You know, and then so I started joking with them, talking to them like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And
right.
we called it Chewbacca moments. Because
right.
when Chewbacca goes, he's like, yeah, Chewie, of course we're in the Dagobah. But you know what I mean? Yeah. They were, you know. So that was my, they'd be just talking away. And I'm like, mm-hmm, nah, I don't think so. It's about 2 o'clock, you know, or something, right. you know.
So was that Foursquare?
Yeah.
Like you were doing, wow, that's cool.
It was interesting. It was a science experiment. And I love the guys I traveled with, but I don't think I'd do it that way again. I think I'd like, if I ever, I don't think that'll even happen again, but if I did, I'd like to take my friends with me.
Yeah.
You know, because that is the exciting part. Because
yeah. Well, you do all the work. You might as well, you know,
yeah.
experience it together.
And you know, you're not every day you're going to see your friend from Italy in Italy and talk about that awesome experience. Because mm-hmm. it was an awesome experience. But all your friends, you know, and you feel tighter together. I mean, back in the old Foursquare days when we actually had a real band, mm-hmm. it was definitely way tighter to the fact that you didn't really have to, you know, the band dynamic was so tight that you didn't actually have to really have a conversation about stuff. It was mm-hmm. just, that's the band dynamic that I long for. And I mean, you know, you guys probably have it, you know, it's because you've been, you know, how long has this Public Animal been around for? Like now?
4 years?
4 years.
Yeah, or three and a half.
Same people?
Yep, all same people.
Yeah, that's the way to go now. Like, do you look at band like Sloan, you know, or The Hip? It's like, how do they not, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Oh,
after
man,
being in all
those fights must be out of control.
But they stay together.
I know, it's
stay
true.
Together.
Well, there's a common goal there, right? Like,
I know, but,
you know,
at what end? They're either
I don't know.
Very patient people. Because I've been in bands where it's like, God, I can't wait to get this guy out of my van. I just can't wait,
yeah.
you know.
Well, they're all really nice people, too. I mean, I'm sure that, yeah, hopefully they do their best, you know. I mean, Sloan pretty much broke up almost or whatever before, what record was that? Remember the Geffen thing?
Even just Twice Removed.
Yeah, Twice Removed.
Yeah.
Whatnot, so.
Yeah, but they just stuck it out, and you know. But that's an interest. I'm trying to get one of these people from Sloan on my show.
Mm-hmm.
It's just impossible. It's impossible. They just don't give a fuck
right.
at all, right?
Well, I think it's about the shows for them. I don't know. Not to put words in their mouth.
I think
anything,
it is about the shows. You're right, but I just know they don't.
And the music.
But they're yeah, exactly. But that's the allure of it. That's what I love about that because they can actually hold their own. Live and mm-hmm. they don't need to. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Or they.
I mean, ultimately, like for me, like getting older, the one thing that I really realize is it is the songs and whether that song connects with somebody who's walking by while you're playing or whatever. You know, like that's absolutely the most important thing. And mm-hmm. like the secondary stuff, really, you can leave by the wayside if you're going to spend time and try and write great songs. Like, you know what I
yeah.
mean? Like the song is it.
The exciting part is being able to write for yourself
mm-hmm.
and not have to write for anybody else.
Yeah, and also have people dig that, you know,
yeah.
like that's...
Yeah, and I think it's an easier chance for someone to communicate with the audience on a whim as opposed to trying to engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Engineer being like trying to make an architect of a song to say, this is what people like these days. They really like that millennial hull. Like, uh-oh. So we're going to put that all over our song. Ian.
I'm so glad I haven't had to put that on a song.
Oh, man. Did you see that part? Somebody put a YouTube video up of all the songs that have the whoa-ohs.
Right.
And it's like, whoa, it's
are
10
they all
minutes
in...
of, oh.
Are they
it's
all
like,
in the same place, dude?
They're kind yeah. of, well, they just sort of mash it all together. But it really does say a lot. It says, that's what I need to hear. I need to hear some whoa-ohs.
Right.
You know, and that makes that song similar to that song because that song was successful.
Yeah.
It's a tie-in together.
Yeah.
It's an all tie. It's like, obviously it's strange because we, as old, I'm not a punk rocker, but as punk rockers,
I'm not really a punk rocker.
But we know what
I love punk rock.
Whoa-ohs were not, there weren't like, you weren't trying to curtail to a beer drinking crowd.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to prove.
I don't think the Misfits when they started going whoa oh
no, they weren't thinking about.
They were not thinking about it.
Nuh-uh. Even the last year's Misfits.
Yeah.
Did you see any of that?
I watched some videos.
I watched
pretty great.
It looked pretty awesome,
great,
right?
Man, like fuck. I don't know.
Is it who's playing drums? Lombardo.
Lombardo. Yeah,
oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounded great, even from that one YouTube I saw from the very back.
Yeah, I saw
crowd.
One from the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like the production, everything looked great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, let's get back to you and your band.
No, it doesn't matter.
I know.
I like talking about Misfits.
Yeah, I love talking about you. Did you shave, you cut your
no,
hair?
No.
Is it just falling out?
It's just in here.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Just wondering. Well, thanks for doing this back in this place. This is one of the, like I said, this is last year in August, I think.
Was it August?
It was.
Yeah, cool.
It was, because I used to date the shows like on the file, so I know when I recorded it. But I just sort of I'm on my 103rd show.
Jeez. Congratulations. Thanks, that's man. Amazing.
I did a live one 2 weeks ago where it was all like streaming out. And talk about technology. Like, how far is that, like, incredibly to make your own, basically your own radio show?
Yeah.
You know, it's been, you know, I mean, internet radio's been around for a long time. Like, Kevin Smith kind of made an internet radio station. It's
right.
24/7, always something going on it. But a guy like me in my shitty office.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It gives you power.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, is that power something that should be, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of that out there.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, it's interesting, like, uniqueness is sort of like a weird gray area now. You know, like, what's uniqueness? Well, it's me. You know, we're going back to you and songs and connecting with people. It's like, I just want to do things like that I like to do.
Right.
And if you like it, then that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means you like it. So maybe more people like you might like it too. You know, but the problem is that fucking haze and cloud of other shit.
Content.
Which I think I was talking about this a week ago about there's got to be a bullshit content filter.
Right.
It's just a down to the nitty gritty. You type in like something and it just doesn't give you any clickbait. It just gives you the file.
Right.
Yeah. And the other is because a lot of Trump talk these days too. The other thing I want to do, a lot of Trump talk and podcasts.
Oh.
Here's my $1 million idea. I just think about this on the way down. What if, so now this is all going to happen. This is going to be on the internet forever.
Right.
This, we're going to talk about Trump and how weird and we all want to forget that person.
Right.
We think that person, even Canadians think that person, we want to just like, we want to put them in the spot where Hitler is.
Right.
But not even Hitler, because we know who Hitler is.
Yeah.
We want that guy to just completely disappear. So my pitch, my app, all the podcasts that are talking about Trump, as soon as you hear Trump, it actually puts in little bird sounds or something. So you can edit all your Trump content out.
Right.
So you can get it out like the garbage. You just get rid of it. Just makes bird tweet sounds or something.
Like
just
a porn filter or something.
Or just makes music or something. Just do, 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 do. So that's my new
Trump
filter.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know how to do that, but I'm sure I can get somebody on that.
I like it when people don't spell his name. They just put the T and then blah, 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 P. I can't even say his name. I'm just going to write this instead.
Well, I've been listening to that Marc Maron podcast a lot, and he has millions of listeners, and he says, if you like Trump, you're deluded and a fucking moron.
Well, that's his opinion.
Yeah, there you go. That's his opinion. But he's told millions of people. Like, he obviously can sway so many people that way, you know? I don't know. Well, off the Trump. The T.
Cher does it. She just puts a toilet.
The what?
Cher just puts a toilet in Twitter, on Twitter for
Trump. Oh, for the Trump.
Yeah.
You see the one where he looks like the Oompa Loompa?
Yes.
Yeah. You can't get enough of it. It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
I said this before. I think, well, okay, we're back on Trump. But I think by having Trump as the Republican nominee, it's basically giving it to the Democrats. Like, there you go. They're going to eventually go, all right, I've had enough. This is hilarious, but now we got to get down to business.
Right. Yeah, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. You don't want any of your Republican fans to get pissed off at you. I think you're being guarded, Ian Blurton.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah, right. Or I just don't want to think about it on a Friday morning that's beautiful out.
Isn't it beautiful out?
It's gorgeous out.
It is.
Yeah.
You know,
not to start talking about
the weather.
It's a good
day to put a new album out.
It is.
Yeah. Well, wait. No.
Soon.
In a month.
Yeah.
So what do you got to do to get all that going? You've already got vinyl. I know that much.
Well, the vinyl, I mean, we're just been having some problems with the mastering. But Brad.
Who's mastering it?
This guy, Brad Boatwright at Audio Siege in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly been me. And
you're being the pain?
Yeah. Of course I'm being the pain.
Yeah.
And just finishing up the video, just whatever.
Do you say stuff like, when I put the needle on the thing, it makes this sound, and I don't know if that's really something so we could maybe...
Can we eliminate the needle somehow
that needle
through
sound?
Mastering?
Yeah, is there any way?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I can imagine working with Ian Blurton, the perfectionist.
I don't know if I am a perfectionist.
Really?
But yeah.
Does
but
it need to feel right before?
It does really need to feel right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like, yeah, I don't know. I don't super obsess, but I guess I do.
When it comes, that's an interesting thing, because as a producer, you need to find the good. And you not only need to know what's good, but you need to sort of know how to get it,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. So it's not just the fact that, well, they're just good, they're just going to do what they do, that I've worked with you, and there's a process and a method, and it's very understated, and then you kind of want to try harder.
Right.
And that, to me, is my observation of your technique, where right. I don't do that. I just like, hey, that sucks. Let's make it better. And it, that's
well, that's actually where I'm at now.
Yeah, really?
No, I'm kidding.
Just jaded?
No, I'm not.
But that's an interesting concept because you're letting that person arrive to this, and you're just telling them when it's there,
right?
Or it's gonna get there.
Yeah.
Or there's a lot of time and time, like just doing vocals was an interesting. Think about, well, what is good?
Right.
I didn't know what good is. And yeah. I kind of do now.
Right.
So.
And also good is so relative. Like, I mean, some of my favorite vocal performances, like, for example, the Sonics. I mean, the vocals are incredible on those records. And mm-hmm. like, that is not a high quality recording.
No.
Like, that is just perfect though.
It just feels, yeah.
Perfect.
There's usually just like, I usually find if it's like this crack or this little imperfection that makes it, oh, there's a reason why they kept that,
mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, well, that's kind of makes it kind of cool,
yeah,
because it's unique,
yeah.
And like, back to that whole thing of what music is it, how do you make something unique when it's sort of like things aren't unique anymore,
right? Well, you have to let that person shine through, right?
Like, yeah,
that's through all this technology and everything. I mean, that's really what you kind of have to get that out of the way for them.
You simplify it, right?
Yeah.
Because the A to B is, A is I'm starting to make a song, and B is the song's going to be either on a radio or in somebody's ears, or they'll be part of their life.
Yeah.
So to get to B, it's a big jump.
Mm-hmm.
There's, it should be A to Z.
Yeah.
Because there's all these little steps along the way. And it's unfortunate. Sometimes if you make an error along the way, you might not get there.
Right.
And that's a crazy thing. And it's like, I don't know. You know those little things you put the ball in, it goes down the pegs,
yeah.
and it ends up in one little spot. That's what I feel like the mm-hmm. record industry is.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true, though. That's totally true. Because, I mean, it depends on everything. It depends on the day or the night or,
Yeah.
How the session's going. And, yeah, there's a million things that could possibly happen. I mean, I'm sure we've all had crazy experiences in the studio that
yeah.
are just like, what the fuck? Like, fights and
yeah.
just everything,
Yeah, or and then there's days you go in and go, why was that so easy?
Right.
Why did I do that in one take? And how did that happen? And there's so many other things working in the background, with your personality or whatever that mm-hmm. makes things easier or harder to do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's this thing called red light fever, and we've all had it.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's just like, I can't get through this.
Yeah.
I mean, you're telling me this Ron Hawkins story about when he was doing a song and singing, and he sent you all out of the studio and just sang everything in one take.
Right.
Because he can do that.
Yeah.
That is, And then it was, for what you said, it was better by far.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
Yeah, I mean, vocals are, they're a really hard thing to record. I mean, I don't think most people realize it, but it can be bad.
Of course.
Yeah.
And, if you're on when we recorded, it was on a deadline. I had to be in Vancouver.
Right.
All these things were like, oh, crap. And I was like, I was just nervous because I'd never put a record out before
right.
on my own. And a lot of people do come here and record. Are you still recording like a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm mixing 3 records right now. Yeah. Yeah.
It's when you told me after the Chemical days, and then did you go over to the other Chemicals?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't an owner anymore.
No, but you
I
came
still went over there. I mean, I love that API board. That's still.
It's still kicking?
I think Rogue has it.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 But when you came here, you're telling me, I think it was at the Bovine, in front of the Bovine. It's like, I'm just going to just record. I want to record. And it doesn't matter. I just want to record every day.
Right.
And I thought, wow, because I tried that.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Yeah.
Because it was like, wow, there's a lot to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're kind of guy that likes to be kind of busy all the time.
I like working. Yeah. I really
mm-hmm.
do. Yeah.
What do you do when you're not working?
Sleep.
Yeah?
Yeah. Play guitar.
Just writing songs, whatever?
Writing songs. Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. Like, yeah.
Oh. Do you ever get like into like a songwriting cycle, or do you just do they shit out? Really? Yo, so you actually make a time and say...
No, it kind of happens, actually. It just happens. Yeah. Like I'll go in like a 3-month burst and then kind of it'll... I mean, I try and write all the time. I'm the kind of person that writes through the bad too. Like,
Even
if I hate the song, I'm just going to...
Get it out, right?
Yeah, get it out.
Makes way.
Yeah, it does. But yeah, for sure, I go in like three-month, four-month cycles and just really pump them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's so many years have gone by now where like I just realized that if I don't write a song tomorrow, it's not a big deal.
No.
You know, but if I write one, a couple this year, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've written between now and 3 years ago like 50 songs.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, three of them are good.
Right.
You know, actually five of them are good.
I'm going to say more than that are probably good.
Well, but it's the idea though, because we're in simpatico like that, because I just put them somewhere and I don't name them or I don't work with them too much until I have sort of a pile that I can look at and go, filter through. And I've never done I like that part of the song. I'm going to put it in that part of the song.
Really? I do that all the
can't.
Time.
I don't know why. Yeah. I just don't have that capability.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and like bridge writing and stuff. It's like if it has a good bridge, he's usually a hanger. I'll keep it.
Yeah. You know? Oh yeah, bridges are. Yeah. I love bridges actually.
So like you put a bunch together, and when you are writing, it's by accident, like in the shower kind of thing, and then I got this idea, and then
no, it's picking up an instrument
and just
and
going for it.
Yeah,
that's interesting stuff. Yeah. So
always music first too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you do melodies?
No. It's usually always guitar.
Really?
Guitar part first, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, if I come in with a couple of chords and I can make a melody behind it, I'll experiment with that.
Right.
But if it's just... Because I don't think I'm like that good. I'm not that good of a guitar player. Like, you know what I mean? I think
everyone's good.
I'm not that good, but good enough to be able to understand what I'm actually doing. So if I can sing over top of what I'm playing, then... I'm okay with it.
Right.
You know, then we can go from there. But what I'm trying to get away from is because there's a few, like, if you write a couple of songs in a row, they all kind of start sounding the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to get out of that.
Yeah. No, I do that. And then usually one of them is the one that I pick
you stick.
Or whatever. So yeah. I stick with.
Like, yeah.
Try and, if the song isn't happening, try that same theme in another
pick
song
the litter.
And then pick, yeah.
Yeah. Not the pick of the litter of the, you know, this is the most handsome cat. I'm going to keep this one.
Yeah. But I read a really funny Ace Frehley interview recently where he talked about Gene wrote a song every day or tried to write a song every day. And I'm just like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, who did that? You know who did that is Tupac.
Right.
He came out of jail and had like 200 songs.
Right.
And they were all like awesome songs.
Right.
And then every day would come in again. Who would come in to the other rapper? Would just come in 50 Cent.
Okay.
Would just actually... come in with nothing and leave that day with something.
Done, right. Yeah.
Done.
Some people are really good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like the time in the life that it was like, oh, this needs to, this is happening.
Right.
Like when I had a drum kit in my basement and it was all there, I just go downstairs and write a song. Can't do it anymore. I got to get my car. I got to drive up to the studio. I got to do this and that. I mean, you're on the other side of town too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you do have your own little portable mix and rig stuff. That's we were talking a little bit about. That is, I think, my lifesaver.
Oh, so
right,
great. So great.
Yeah,
yeah.
I actually, I'm not ashamed to say this, but a lot of records I mix is never in my studio.
Right. Yeah, I'm not ashamed to say it either. I enjoy actually going back and forth between the two places too, because you have two perspectives.
Yeah, I always find files get fucked up.
Yeah, just carry the hard drive.
I always find there's something weird. I got this computer thing now that the computer's too new for my software.
Right.
So now I got to go up to I had to buy some plugins. That's when I know I'm an adult. So I actually went and purchased some plugins.
Yeah, I know. I bought some plugins.
I've made it. I'm a man.
I have a reverb that I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a man. Yeah. See, what happened is I updated everything and some shit started dropping away.
Oh.
So I'm like, but I really like this MicDSP stuff. So I started buying MicDSP plugins. That's the only plugin company I'll actually support, because they don't seem to, like, they have the shittiest name ever for...
Yeah, it's a terrible name.
But they're, you know, you probably talk to Mr. McDSP if you wanted to.
Right.
I think they're a German company. It's but yeah, I started buying plugins, and it's so much easier. Like, it was like that time when I stopped going to like LimeWire and stuff, and started just buying stuff on iTunes. Right. It's just easier.
Yeah.
You know.
I've never had iTunes, but yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, though, right? Do you ever like where do you go buy music online from?
I don't know.
The record store?
I don't. Yeah. If I buy something, it's generally vinyl.
Really?
Yeah.
And, oh, you're purist.
But no, I'm not. I stream like crazy. I try.
Oh, okay.
I try
so you Spotify?
No, just like whatever, YouTube and.
Sure.
Yeah, I still listen to a lot of new music. Not crazy about a lot of it.
I've had satellite radio in my car for the past almost 2 years.
Mm.
And satellite radios, there's a dead period in my life where I didn't listen to alternative music because I was too busy listening to podcasts.
Right.
And it's super exciting because like I'm listening to music that's 2 years old. I'm like, this is like brand new music to me.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Like, what is this? And it's like, oh, that came out like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, well, I'll buy it. And I go to iTunes and I buy it.
Yeah. So to say, I mean, like, just like, yeah, like YouTube and whatever, just finding records that you would never, ever find. Like,
yeah.
Ever. And just being pushed in directions by the whatever. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, YouTube, right? Yeah, Spotify's kind of that way too. Spotify, but you got to pay for it.
Right.
But we have one at where I work. They have a company account, so I can actually log into it from my home and listen to it. But it's usually like Broadway show tunes because that's the person listening before me is always Broadway show tunes. So if I want to listen to that, it's all there. But then when I change it, then he knows that I was listening to... whatever, other stuff,
right.
Things like that. So, yeah, it's a new record, man. It's a good on you because it's a long trudge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and is there anything in your life that you're like, you know, I could do that? You know, this is a very Spinal Tap question where you
right.
sell hats or something, but like, is there anything out there like that you think?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Working with animals, probably.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Like, if I was going to change profession, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably something along those lines. I love animals.
Yeah. So you'd have to go out, move out to the country or
move
something.
Move out to the country, start a, I don't know.
It'd be a good place for a studio, though.
Oh, it would be. I love the Scott Reeder from Caius has kind of an animal sanctuary studio.
Really?
In the desert, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's cool.
Well, my parents' house might be coming up for sale in that studio in the barn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a 5 acres.
Wow.
I don't think even if we put both our money together, we could afford it.
I don't know about living around here. It's like crazy.
Yeah.
It's so expensive.
I think eventually my studio is going to be in my backyard.
With the dome over it?
Yeah. No. I'm getting, so I got the in now. It's because you go to buy those crazy big Lowe's, big barns. So you can buy these
right.
kits.
Yeah, yeah.
And you buy these. I saw one 16 by 16 by 14 foot high.
Wow.
I'm like, that'd be a great sounding drum room. So I don't. And Jim Bryson, he doesn't have like a control room in a live room. He just all puts it
right.
in the same room now.
Right.
I thought, that'd be kind of neat. Having like a nice big open area mm-hmm. that I can walk out in my bathing robe and like sit down and work like kind of like Brian Wilson-y.
Right.
You know, like, don't
get some sand on the
get
floor.
Get some sand on the floor. Get weird with it, you know. But the thing is, you don't need a permit to do that.
Right.
And that's the big tricky thing around where I live. And I think that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
I think when this happens, because it's going to be a couple of years, but to have a place to, it's so funny because I do need a place to create, and I want my place like this where we're now. This is heaven because this is
right.
your place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody can tell you what and what not.
Well,
to do
Lee
here.
Can tell me. Who's
he
my
can
partner,
tell you, but it's your place.
Yeah.
Like you can say when I'm here, I want to do stuff here.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, where my house, so like in my basement, I got to actually pay my family off to like. So in the winter, when I record a band, I need to pay them off to go to like a hotel or something, and then I did a Rules record in my living room. This Ben Rispin and Chuck Coles.
Okay.
They and drummer, what's his name, from the Penske File. They put this record, this 5-song record out, and recorded it pretty much live off the floor without vocals in my living room.
Wow.
But I had to send my family away. It actually cost me money because I had to send them to a hotel because it got really intrusive, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
So if I had a room somewhere, my studio was obviously under 3 feet of snow at that point. So, yeah, I need to sort it out. And this
right.
seems like a thing, like, but then again, I don't think I could come down to the city and do this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, you just do it every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah, do it every day.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you didn't like it, you wouldn't do it.
No, no. I mean, yeah. And I'm so honored to be able to work with like a million awesome bands.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's a great feeling.
You're the guy. Like people.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, what do you mean? I think you're the guy. Wait, let's do that again. Ready? Edit that in. You're the guy.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Don't, you can't edit that.
I'm not going to edit that. Yeah. So, I mean, people, I every time I hear there's a record coming out, maybe it's my Facebook friends.
Yeah, it's your Facebook friends.
They're all tight.
Yeah, you have limited.
But that's the thing. That's the networky part. And people know to come to you to get something great.
Mm-hmm.
Like our Audio Visceral band, the Bose All Natural, Steve, he talked about you recording here and how you freaked him out.
Like I freaked him out?
A little bit, yeah, because he's worried. You want to perform, you know, in right. front of, you know,
yeah.
the great Ian Blurton, you right. know, and that's an amazing thing. And it's time spent and it's praise that's obviously due because you know how it is, right? You do it for 20 years for nothing. And right. then all of a sudden people are like, hey, well, he's pretty good. Still doing it.
Yeah. You know? Why is that guy still around?
Yeah, he's still doing it. He must yeah. be good. He yeah. must be good.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't gotten in too many fights with bands over the years, so it's like...
How many bands you kicked out of your studios?
Oh, I've only ever kicked one person out of the studio.
Me too.
Yeah.
What was your story?
Oh.
You don't need to name names, yeah. but we can call them like, I don't know,
nah, it's,
weaker yeah, bands or something.
Nah, it's, no. Nah, I don't even want to talk about it. It was just too much. They were asking too much.
Really?
Yeah.
Like explain, asking
like
too
just
much.
Long hours and not, right. not for a very low amount of money and then just wanting to, yeah.
That seems to be a thing, right?
Yeah.
But I work with my friend up in Sault Ste. Marie, Dustin, who has a studio, and he does a per song deal. And right. I'm like, you're getting fucked.
Yeah.
You're getting fucked because these people will take advantage of you, and they do.
Yeah.
And then so he'll be doing like, he's like, yeah, I made like $3 an hour.
You know. Wicked.
Yeah. But I yeah. got, you know, but I got my money up front.
Right.
You know, but it's like one of those things when you actually put down mm-hmm. the amount of hours you spend on it,
mm-hmm.
you got to either realistically look at it and go, oh, okay, well, I can deal with that.
Right.
And don't use it against the people because that's the deal you made.
Right.
That's the, you know, I do a per song with him and I understand where I'm coming from. You know, right. we have an understanding, right? So he keeps, it's quantity. He just keeps sending me stuff, right?
Right.
But it's important that you've made that contract with the band you're working with, and if you don't get along with them, it's like, fuck, you can't pay me enough.
Yeah.
I think that's
yeah.
why I don't really do that anymore.
Right.
Because there's a situation, it's like, you got to sit there and eat the inside of your mouth and let them work through any sort of issues.
Right.
You have the patience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have the patience.
Yeah, I have a lot of patience.
Dustin says he has a back spot where he takes the band in the backyard and then he sits them down and talks to them.
Really?
Like on a daily basis, any band, name it, he'll bring them in and say, okay, let's get this done. Let's deal with this. I don't think I could do that anymore. I like working with friends.
Yeah.
I don't like charging money anymore.
I think maybe I'm really lucky with the people I get to work
yeah.
with. Yeah, because I get along with like 99% of them.
There's a studio ad right there. I think I just undercut you by 100%.
Yeah.
I don't like getting paid. I just like... yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, the patience is a big thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially with drummers, right?
Like, of course. And the fact that you started somewhere and ended somewhere is the journey along the way, that you get to see some people who maybe doesn't go to the studio very much. You can see them go from nothing to something that they're really proud of.
Oh, yeah.
That's rewarding enough.
Yeah.
Right? Well, the money's good, too.
Yeah.
Money
I mean, it's, I've had some funny experiences like where after the drummer's like, man, I hated you for putting me through that. That was a nightmare. But now I'm playing the songs like 15 times better. Can we re-record the record?
Yeah.
It's like, well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny if when you coach a drummer, there's two directions it goes in. There's the, oh, thanks, man. This really helped. And there's the, that guy's a fucking asshole. I'm never going back to that. That guy. Blah, blah,
I
blah,
got
blah.
The take 15 takes ago.
I can we just take that one?
Right.
Yeah. I have bands that have drummers who played in other bands before that won't come record with me.
Right.
Like, just drums being a dick. But I mean, sometimes you got to be not very diplomatic, right?
Yeah.
There's sometimes, you know, I mean, I took it too far. That's why, you know, whatever. But you have to. You have to tell them and say, no, you hired me to make things sound good. I'll put my name on this. but put my name on it, why am I letting you get away with half takes?
Right.
And phoning in takes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, you know, and if they think that they're the bee's knees, that's going to be a very tough conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so.
It's an interesting conversation.
Absolutely. Because it's down to, it almost turns into like, well, it's not like a pissing competition. It's like, well, I've been doing this a long time.
Right.
You know, I've been doing this a long time. It's like, well, then, okay, we've been doing this a long time. Like, let's act like adults.
Yeah.
I get it all the time with theater folks. They always like to tell me how long they've been doing it for. Yeah. I don't really go, that's exciting. It's good for you.
I've been doing it for 50 years.
Yeah. There's like 35 plus years. I think I know a little thing about theater.
Right.
Like, okay, well, we're in a 600-seat venue. you know what I mean? We're not at Carnegie Hall.
Right.
So something went wrong on your journey of 35 years of theater. So maybe we should do this the better way.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, you don't want to talk down to people, too, but you have to.
It's a tricky one.
It's a very tricky one.
I find that passive aggression is a bad technique.
Mm-hmm.
The older I get, the more I notice when people are being passive aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's a whole society shift in the world where back at like in 1991 at the Alma Combo, the sound guy was like, you guys fucking suck. And he'd be like, you fucking suck. And then people are just being like super, you know, primal with each mm-hmm. other. But in today's society is that everybody gets offended.
Right.
As soon as you say something, they're offended. So you don't want to try and offend them. So your only way to get your message across is being passive aggressive. So we got to get back to the old way. Yeah. I think a lot of people need to get
back to the primal. You suck.
Yeah. We got to get back to, I think everybody needs, here's some. I think everybody needs to take a van trip with other people for 28 hours and try and have an argument. And when the argument's done, you say, well, you can have the argument in the first hour of the trip. And then I'll make either like 27 hours of hell, or you'll get over it and have three more arguments. And then you realize, oh, this is how people normally work with their issues.
Mm-hmm.
You sit them in a van. Sit them on tour.
Van therapy. Oh, my God. There's your TV show.
That's right. Let's do that.
Man.
You got to drive from Toronto to Vancouver.
Oh,
and,
man.
And basically, great. You know, like Cash Cab, where they have the things,
yep.
the questions pop
yep.
up? The topic. The topic of conversation
for 5 days.
And it'll be like all these weird little things you tell them to do, like play Christian speed metal,
right.
Go, and you're like, God, and you're like, I don't like this, you know. And then then you put like the Jonathan Torrens in there, who's like the method actor, just to fuck the whole thing up. That's the best show ever, dude.
Oh my God, that would be so great. Have a plant.
Fan therapy, though. Yeah. You've nailed the name of the show that we're gonna do. we've covered a lot of things. Like we figured out how to filter Trump out of conversations.
Yep.
I should actually happen in normal life. As soon as your phone hears like talking about Trump, it just goes tweet. It rings.
Right.
And it'd be just nobody.
Yeah.
It just rings, and you're like, hello. Oh, I've been talking to Trump.
Don't say that. Oh,
now my phone's ringing. Yeah. Ring. Hello. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I should probably stop talking now. But Trump. Oh, phone rang again. What's up for today, man?
Actually, we're just we've been doing some teasers for video teasers for the album.
Who does all the editing stuff?
The visual?
Yeah.
Ryan, our drummer.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And he's
yeah,
him and Eric shoot. And
yeah.
It's great.
Ryan
Gassy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so neat to have bands having like that sort of their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
it takes the weight off everybody.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've had to learn everything. So then people.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, yeah, the teamwork in a band that's the exciting part of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially. And so you're doing like you've done a video.
Yeah, we're just finishing the edit on a video. Yep, and we've done we did like little commercials, like three little 40 second thingies.
Yeah. And so the video is a performance video or is it a...
It's performance in Cityscape.
We're in Cityscape?
No, and Cityscape.
And
Cityscape. Yeah,
oh,
it's
okay.
Combo. It's
yeah.
combo.
So the what's the premise? What's going on? Just
there's no premise.
Just looking at stuff?
Yeah, every street is empty. I guess that's the
premise. Is there a shot of the CN Tower through the water?
No, we use that shot up right away. That was our first press photo.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful
It's beautiful,
shot.
Yeah.
I actually was out here with a group called the Guitar Guys, and they were shooting part of their video.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and they play a cello, violin, and viola.
Oh.
And I was the video playback. I recorded it, so I became the audio playback guy.
Right.
So I had like this little weird little... We're going everywhere. We're not supposed to, like, in the TTC subway.
Right.
No permits.
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah.
And we're just shooting stuff. And someone goes, where's your permit? And the guy who was the director is like, oh, it's here somewhere. And I can't find the permit. Can we just do the shot?
That's what you got to do.
Yeah, he's good at it, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going to... I mean, videos are funky, right?
Mm.
They're just such a... Do people need videos anymore?
I don't know. Sure. Why not?
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously
I mean, it was fun to do.
Yeah.
And it's part of, you know, whatever. It's a different way of watching the single. It's, you know, mm-hmm. not a lyric video. And
Oh, right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I think lyric videos maybe are a little played out.
What about live videos? Do you ever think about, get the space to do it?
Yep. We're actually kind of talking about
doing
something like that in February. but our next video is actually just all live footage.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yeah. So you should just record your live shows and then you could just maybe sell it at the shows mm-hmm. too, right?
Yeah. What an idea. What are you
thought? Who came up with that idea? In fact, I better edit that part out. Woo, big secret. I got a good name for the site, too, by the way.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you because somebody's going to register the site and then I'll be fucked.
Somebody's already registering.
I can't believe it's available.
Right.
Yeah. Hold on. Unplug your mic for a sec. Hey, we're back.
Hi, we're back.
Good name, right?
Yeah, it's really good.
Good name for new. Yeah. this is awesome. I love being here. It feels... The ambiance is great. The band, all the gear.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's a rehearsal space with microphones.
I know, but you should do, is part of the video in here?
Actually, yeah, we shot it, the performance part of it in here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We shot a couple of videos in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you,
it's cheap.
Yeah, there's crazy people walking around here.
Yes, there are. My favorite thing that I've ever had happened here, there's a garbage bin outside, and I drove up with a client, and we both got out, and as we get out, I look in the garbage bin, and the fucking thing flips open, and a guy pops out, and he's like, hey, how's it going? Or whatever, never met the guy before in my life, and he's just talking to me like, you know, he's related to me or something.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I saw the male version of Crazy Eyes. He's like this little black guy, and he's just like, I have been having the best day ever. This is great. And I'm over here, and he starts like doing these other like little moves, and I'm like, he's Crazy Eyes. The Doc's version of Crazy Eyes.
Right.
And he's walking around, and he's just this guy, like just, and he actually let himself into here.
Right.
That's the thing that was like, oh, okay.
Yep.
So I'm like, oh, and I'm on my phone. I'm like, I don't want this crazy person to get, like, because, you know, crazy people, they're not always happy.
Sometimes they are.
And when they're happy, they can flip to anger.
Yes.
Faster than you or me.
Yes.
So I had to watch, you know, I was trying not to be like, you know, okay, dude. Okay, have a good day. Okay, bye.
Right.
Yeah, there's some real nutty folk around here.
Yeah, there sure are. If you actually go down that hallway that we're not going to go down and into mm-hmm. the back, there's some interesting things going on back there.
Do you ever like get a lawn chair and sit out here during like an event and just see all the crazies
just
walk by?
Sit on the stairs. Well, because the cabana bar is right there.
Yeah.
Right? And, oh, man. In the summertime. And they just had the World Volleyball Championships across the street for a week.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in Cirque du Soleil's over there.
Yeah, right there. How about the go-karts?
The go-karts are open all the time.
I know.
It's crazy.
I want to go there. Yeah. I haven't been there in a while.
They look really not great.
Yeah.
And there's no straightaway.
It can't be.
This is my problem.
That means you're not going very fast because they don't go fast to begin with.
Yeah, and then there's no passing.
That's right. You know? Yeah, period. Yeah, because they all go the same speed.
Yeah.
It's very Russian. It's a Russian go-kart track. In Russia, we go same speed. Oh, man. Well, so October 28th.
October 28th.
And?
We're playing a show at the Horseshoe.
Horseshoe?
In Toronto.
Yeah.
And we're doing something a little weird. Yep.
Okay.
We're going to play first and play our new record.
Yeah.
So at 9:45, we're going to play to an empty room. It's going to be awesome.
Amazing.
I don't know if it'll be empty.
Of course it won't.
And then Powwows, who I don't know if you know the McCann mm-hmm. brothers, but they're awesome. And then Diamonds.
Yeah, Diamonds.
Diamonds.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we're going to come back and we're going to play the Dazed and Confused soundtrack, which we did last year with like 22 odd guests.
Wow.
Yeah. So every song has a different singer or extra instrumentation.
Oh, man.
And it was so much fun last year. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to come to that. I'm not going to sing or do anything.
You can dance.
I could dance. Maybe I'd play tambourine or something. Some tambourine?
Tambourine, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man. Are you doing Lowrider. We need a tambourine.
I'll bring my tambourine. Is there any free beer in this
I'm sure there tambourine will be playing? A free beer. I'm sure.
Because I don't play tambourine for nothing.
No. You shouldn't.
No, it's
One of the hardest instruments.
That's right.
I've recorded so many bad tambourinists in my life. I'm sure you have too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know who's a really good tambourine player? Jason Tate.
Yes.
One hell of a tambourine player.
He's an amazing tambourine
player. He can
player.
Do stuff like stuff yeah. like that. Yeah.
And he can also tune his drums like no one I've ever heard.
Yep.
Man, they sound good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to Jason in a long time.
Neither have I.
I wonder how he's doing.
I think he's all right. He's playing with Kay Sampson on the new records coming out.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not Weaker Dance?
No.
And you're not working on it?
No. Oh. It's Johnny Kay solo.
Yeah?
Yep.
Is it him? Like, is he Meg? Is it just him like a two-piece band?
No, it's Greg, who's the bass player in the Weaker Dance.
Oh, right,
and
right.
Christine, his wife.
Oh.
And one other person who I don't think I know who it is. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
I mean, Tate's, I don't know. I can remember getting live demos and just listening to the drums on the live demos going like, man, this is going to be hard to top.
Yeah.
Like even just the straight board.
Those are the Cam demos? Cam Lopke?
No, they were live. They were like live, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see you on the 28th.
All right.
So I'm going to come down. If I'm not working, I will come down and I work a lot. So I will... Right. We'll sign off here, and thanks, man. I wish you all the luck.
Likewise.
And I hope everything, you sell a million records. He laughs. No, I mean it.
I mean, does anyone sell a million records anymore? It's like,
Beyonce sells a million records.
Yeah.
So maybe you could take a page off of her.
I feel like I'm fierce, so.
You're fierce, yeah. And you know, you're not afraid.
Not afraid.
That's being fierce. It's the first key element of being fierce is being brave and fierce.
Yeah.
It's a bold move.
It's a bold move, yeah.
What's other catchphrases? Are you going to put any millennial whoa-whoes in there?
No, absolutely
That's my part.
Not.
When I come in and do I'll be whoa-whoeing at the same time. My millennial whoa-whoes. Okay, man, thanks.
Thank you.
Ian Blurton. Super cool guy. One of my favorite people on the planet Canada. He's a super cool guy. Everybody, thanks so much for listening to this episode. Don't forget to go to audibletrial.com/apolog to get your 30-day free trial and your free audiobook download. Don't forget to go to apolog.ca and click on the Amazon banners to bookmark and support the show. Don't forget to go to patreon.com/apolog to pledge as little or as much as you want on a monthly basis to help the show's hosting and gas fees out. You know, gas, drive around. It's getting expensive. Don't forget to pre-order a shirt. I'm pre-order the acoustic album. Don't forget to buy a t-shirt. I might get more t-shirts. I'm telling you that the t-shirts are running out, so maybe you'll buy one, so then I can go buy a new t-shirt. Make a new design. Foursquare Discography and iTunes. Please help that show out this way. Don't forget to go to Melanie K's Party Train podcast, which I believe is going to be on iTunes, hopefully soon. I saw the thing and I liked it on Facebook. You can go like it on Facebook, Party Train Podcast. Next week, I have a psychologist of sorts. He's a counselor, actually. His name is Oren Amati. He came to me through a friend of a friend. He's a cool guy. He actually has his own podcast, too. We actually had a great conversation. We talked, but you're going to have to come back next week to see that one. We'll see you next week, everybody. I'm going to go watch the rest of Talking Dead. My head's spinning. Spoiler alert, Han Solo dies. Everybody, see you next week. I'll be here. Bye.